I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
You may be seated, and let's go straight into the Word of God. Amen. Last week, you know, I've been sharing with you from those who are proud, which is part of our loyalty and disloyalty series. Amen. And last Sunday, we were talking about how to diagnose proud speaking, isn't it? How to recognize proud speaking. And I want you to think about it more in terms of proud speaking in yourself. Amen. Not so much proud speaking in other people. Yes, if you diagnose proud speaking in other people is great, and it's okay, but I don't know how that helps you. Do you see? So what's important is that you diagnose proud speaking when you see it in yourself. Amen. Right. So the first sign of proud speaking from last week is overconfident declarations. Overconfident declarations. That is, people who speak overconfidently. Amen. We read how someone told Jesus Christ, Pilate told Jesus Christ, that don't you know I have the power to kill you? I have the power. I determine whether you live or die. You know, and Jesus put him in his right place and told him, you would have no power over me except that it's been given to you. Hallelujah. And it's important for us to recognize that if we have any power, if we have any authority, or if we're put in any high position or place in relation to other people, we must remember that it has been given to us. Amen. It has been given to us. God has allowed us to rise up that high, and we must remember that we must stay humble in that place. God is the one who gives us things. God gives us talents. God gives us abilities. God gives us skills, you know, and enables us to do things that others cannot ordinarily do. Amen. Amen. And one of the ways to know you are blessed is when you look at yourself and you find yourself able to do things that others cannot ordinarily do. Do you see what I'm saying? That's how you know that what you have is a gift from God, that you got something extra. Do you see? It's like, you know, everybody has a pizza, but you have like 7 toppings. Do you see? You have some extra toppings that have made your pizza a little more juicy and a little more attractive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Especially if you can do things that people have to go to school to do. Do you see? Yeah, people have to go to school to be able to do a whole lot of things. I mean, look at this guy up here, Joel. I mean, he's playing these things and, you know, but people have to go to school to do these things. Do you see? But he hasn't been to school even for one day to do these kinds of things. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a blessing. It's a gift from God. You see, some of the people who do the sound and so on and so forth in the back, you haven't been to no school to learn how to do the sound, but somehow you are able to work it, you're able to do it. It is a gift from God. Amen. It is something that God has given to you. I saw, what's her name? Can you? Last week, did you see what she was wearing? Was it her birthday last week? Last week? Yeah. She was wearing these fancy things. You know, and I found out she made them herself. Do you see? And Kanyu is only, what, 11 years old? Yeah, 11 years old. And even the 11, she just got it. You see, she just got the 11th year. But before that, she was very much of a 10-year-old. Do you see? But she's able to make clothes that are good enough to wear to church. At least to her, they're good enough. If you didn't think so, well, that's your problem. But she came to church in those clothes that she made herself. It's a gift from God. Do you understand? The Bible says, who makes you differ from another? Who is behind the difference between you and another person? And you find that person is God, not you. You're not the one creating that natural difference, that extra ability, that something that you have or that you're able to do. And therefore, it must make you humble. Amen. You must not use it as a tool to put others down and say, I can do this, you can't do this, when you actually didn't do anything to have that. You just found yourself with it. Do you see what I'm saying? And you have to be humble and be grateful to God. Say amen. Amen. Another one is comments that forget the grace of God. People who talk, you know, without acknowledging the grace of God. People who don't often say, by the grace of God. You know, people who don't say, God willing, or if God permits, or if God helps me, or if God enables me. You know, people who talk like they are, you know, some self-sustaining something. You see, the truth is that we all are kept by God and kept by the power of God. We read a very interesting verse in James. You know, I think it's James chapter 4. And that verse was talking about people who say tomorrow they're going to go to such and such a place and do business and make profit. And, you know, it's talking about people who outline their plans. You know, lay out an elaborate plan for their lives without acknowledging God and his role in fulfilling those plans. Do you see? Lady Pastor Michelle, can you put my thing there, the timer, please? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like people who don't acknowledge that it is the Lord, you know, but we make plans. Look at this verse. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go to or go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know, this is a typical statement of, you know, an ambitious young person. Do you see? Laying out his plans and saying, I'm going to do this today or tomorrow. I'm going to go to such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And the next verse, he says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You know, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So verse 15 shows us a recommended way to talk. Amen. God is showing us the proper way to speak. Tell somebody that's the recommended way to speak. Hallelujah. He says, ye ought to say, if the Lord will, if the Lord will, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Hallelujah. If the Lord will, if God permits, if God allows it, if God's grace allows it, then we will live and do this or that. That is the proper way to talk. Amen. So that's a statement that acknowledges that it doesn't just depend on you, but that it depends on a higher power, and that is God himself. Say amen. Next one is high-sounding statements. High-sounding statements. That's the one we just watched in the film stars were showing that to us today, isn't it? Yeah, you saw the king. He really felt good. You know, and I love the names of his girlfriends. What are the names again? Flappy something. Flirty Flapper. And what's the other one? Chocolate Drop. And there was a third one. Mahogany. And you were who? The second wife. Did you have a name? Catherine. I see. You have a nickname until you become a wife. Then they call you by your real name, Catherine. Right. But you can see that that king was feeling really big and proud, you know, and he was proposing a toast to himself, you know, and to his own greatness. You know, celebrating himself and celebrating his accomplishments and saying there's no one in the entire world like him and that he's the greatest and he's the best, you know. And that is a very important thing not to do. Amen. Amen. Very important not to exalt yourself and to push yourself up and say, I am. Hallelujah. In the name of having a good self-esteem, you can actually exceed and go over and enter pride and proud speaking. And then you will attract God's wrath for speaking that way. So the king was talking and boasting, and then suddenly he saw something on the wall, the handwriting on the wall that said that it was his end, that his days are finished. That should not be your story. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody that will not be your story. Hallelujah. Then number four is statements that reject and refuse instructions. Statements that reject and refuse instructions. And here we talked about Dathan and Abiram, two guys who were sent for by their leader, their pastor Moses, and they sent a message back to him and said, we will not come up. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 12. They said, we will not come up. We will not come up. So one of the ways to know that you're being proud is when you find yourself, you know, making some of these statements that reject and refuse instructions that are being given to you, you know, legitimate instructions that are being given to you by a properly appointed authority. Do you see what I'm saying? A legitimate authority, an authority that is justified in giving you those instructions. You must learn how to submit yourself to authority if you want to do well in this life. Amen. You must learn how to submit yourself to authority, because authority, the Bible says, is from God. Romans chapter 13. Look at Romans chapter 13. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Do you see? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Can you see that? Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Amen. Amen. See, a person cannot have authority. He says the concept of authority itself, the fact that one human being can have some authority over another human being, that phenomenon itself, to me, is quite mysterious, because how is it that one human being is born and another human being is born, and somehow by some interplay of some factors that neither of us really control, before we know it, this one has the power to say to this one, sit down. I find it quite interesting. See, one has the power to actually put another one in handcuffs and says, you come here. And he says, put your hands behind you. You put your hands behind you. And it's all because of where he works. He just went to get a job in another office, and you also went to get a job in a bakery or something, you see. And you went to get a job in another place, and he got a job, you know, he decided to get a job at a police station or someplace like that. So somehow, after the job, he's able to have enough authority to say, put your hands. You don't have a choice. You have to put your hands behind you. And he puts you in handcuffs. What is at work is God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. What is at work is God. And that's why when human beings get into it, they mess up. You see, because it's not a human thing. It is actually God. Authority. He says, be subject to the higher powers. When you find yourself under a power that is higher than you, be subject to it, because there is no power. There is no power. There is no power. This is what Jesus was trying to tell Pilate. Because Pilate was trying to say, listen, you better answer my questions, because I have power to determine whether you live or not. And Jesus was saying, not so, not so, not so, not so, Pilate. He said that, you know, you would have no power over me except it's been given to you. It's been given to you. Think about the politicians. When the politicians are campaigning for power, they literally beg us. They come door to door. They smile at us even if they don't like us. They meet us at the malls and different places. They help us with our little children. They load our pushchairs and buggies into the cars for us. They help us with our shopping from Walmart, you know. And at that point, they are at our mercy. Isn't it? Yes. Just for us to go and say yes. Give him the job. Give him the job. Give him the job. Then they get the job. After they get the job, everything just flips. Suddenly they tell us how fast we can drive our cars, where we can park, where we cannot park. They give us the rules. It's interesting how these things work. But the reality is that there is no power. There is no power. You cannot have power over anyone except from God. It says the powers that be are ordained of God. Amen. So don't follow people who don't obey rules. Don't follow people who don't respect authority. When someone is placing authority over you, no matter what he does, once he is your supervisor, once he is over you, once he determines your work schedule, once he determines anything about you, it means he has some power over you. Even a small parking attendant who determines where you put your car, he has some small power over you. And you have to learn to obey rules and learn to submit yourself. Otherwise, one day when you have power, you will also find that people will not submit to you. Are you understanding the word? Right? So let's be careful with authority. Read the next verse, verse 2. Verse 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Can you see that? That people who resist power or resist authority resist the ordinance. Ordinance means something that has been ordained by God. Isn't it? So in resisting authority and resisting power, he says, you resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. In other words, there is a consequence for being disobedient. There's a consequence for resisting something that has been established by God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. No matter where the authority is, whether it's in your home, it's in your school, it's in your dorm, I tell you, those RAs, you better respect them, because there is no authority but of God. And whosoever resisted them, resisted the ordinance of God. There's nothing like this person has just authority over me because it's the school. He's nothing. No, he's something, because he has some power. Power to say when the lights go off. Power to say when the doors must be closed. Power to say how to keep the hallways. It's some power. And we must all respect it. Can I have an amen? Amen. Verse 3 says, for rulers, that means people in authority, are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you see? Yeah. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So the same power will praise you if you do the right thing. Isn't it? Yes, then verse 4 says, for he is a minister of God. So people in authority are ministers of God. Police officers are ministers of God. What do you think? Yes, he's a minister of God to thee for good. You get it? He's there for your good. He said they are not a terror to good works, but to evil. You know, if God did not police this world, can you imagine the amount of evil that this world is capable of? The amount of evil that will drown and overwhelm. We will be overwhelmed by evil. I tell you, because the heart of human beings, is dark. You see, and very wicked. Human beings are very wicked. I mean, we've been watching in the news, I think, over the last few weeks or so, some journalist who's supposed to have been killed, you know. Yeah, and if what they're saying is true, then it means they actually killed him and chopped him to pieces. Can you imagine that? That there are some human beings who get gratification from chopping other human beings to pieces. That it's not enough that you are dead. You know, we want you to die in your death. But that's what a human being can. Some human being in that place did that. If it is true. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, some human being is able to look at another human being and cut off his hand. Just cuts off his hand, and he has no fear. He's expecting to live a full and complete life after. So he says that unless God helps with the policing of this world, we can't, because the police people themselves also have evil in them. Yeah. That is because we can only find humans to do the police work. Do you understand? And all of us are already contaminated. Do you understand? So you see that it looks like God sort of helps with the policing of the world. Sometimes when you watch the cop shows, You are you not amazed how they are able to stop the right vehicle? The one that has body parts in the back is the one that makes a left turn without indicating. And that's the one that gets stopped. And you just wonder. It's like, this is the one you must stop. And somehow they stop that rider. It's because they are ministers of God. God will use them. Do you understand? Yes. But you can see that because they're also human beings, every now and then you see cops also taking advantage of the power to also abuse them, to sort of take advantage of it, to cheat people and to mistreat people. Yeah, because it's in our hearts. It's in our hearts. That's how we are. So it's a God thing. He says, he's a terror to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Do you see that? So God uses them to punish evil people. But if you do what is right, he says, you shouldn't have to worry. If you do what is wrong, be afraid. So sometimes when you're over speeding, be afraid. You get it? Be afraid. Don't arrogantly speed and drive at 100 miles per hour and feel like you're just going to get away with it. Maybe you will, but at least be afraid. Do you understand? That's why I don't overspeed for too long. For too long. Because I'm afraid. I can never say I don't overspeed. Sometimes it's thrilling to feel the vehicle moving fast. You see what I'm saying? Especially if you have a right car. Yeah. If it's a German car. You see, Elpak, she is the one who does those things. You see? Yeah. You feel the vehicle moving and responding. It's nice. It's thrilling to feel that you can press something and you are causing all this movement. There's something about it. But be afraid. Be afraid. Because he beareth not the sword in vain. It's not for nothing that he has the trooper lights and so on, and he'll turn them on and come after you, and he has authority from God to execute judgment upon him that doeth evil. Can I have an amen? Are we going to obey rules? Tell your neighbor, we need to obey rules. Hallelujah. And obey authority. Amen? All right. Now, the next thing, number 5, is illegitimate rebukes of authorities. Illegitimate. We are talking about diagnosing proud speaking. Proud speaking. And the next one is illegitimate rebukes of authorities. That is people who rebuke authorities. Okay? Numbers chapter 16 and verse 3. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 3 says, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And they said to them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Amen. Bring it back again. He says, they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now, from the verses we read earlier, you can already see that something is not right. Isn't it? Yeah. Moses and Aaron are the people that God sent to lead these people out of captivity. These were the leaders of the people. And the Bible is saying that these people who had been led out of captivity by Aaron and Moses gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you because you're not the only ones who can do what you're doing. You're not special. What's so special about you? Why do you always have to tell us what to do? Why do you have to give us instructions all the time? Why do you have to tell us, sit down, stand up? Why? And some people are like that. He says, you are lifting yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord. What some people see in authority is just another human being vaunting himself and not the authority behind the person that is being exercised over you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So these people were offended. They were offended and they were saying that, you know, they were challenging Moses and challenging Aaron and saying, you are doing too much. You must also give us something because you are not the only ones who can do something. Or you are not the only ones who are called by God. Now that type of behavior is also a sign of pride. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Watch out for people who rebuke spiritual authorities. It is a dangerous practice and a sign of loftiness, haughtiness, arrogance, and pride. The sons of Korah rose up and rebuked Moses. They accused him of being puffed up. Imagine that. Imagine telling Moses that he feels too big. Someone actually had the boldness to tell Moses, who do you think you are? Can you understand what I'm sharing with you? So they rebuked him for having too much power in the camp of Israel. They also pointed out to him that he was not the only holy or special person in Israel. You know, he says, look at it. It says the congregation are holy. Now, holy doesn't mean that the congregation hasn't sinned before. That's not what holy means. Do you understand? Yeah. Otherwise, when we say the Lord is holy, what will it mean? Because holy doesn't mean the person hasn't fornicated before. Holy doesn't mean the person hasn't drunk anything or smoked something before. That's not what holy means. Otherwise, if we say the Lord is holy, then it has to mean that God doesn't, he hasn't done any weed. He hasn't, you know, you can't even associate God with such things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. But holy means special. Holy means something that is set aside that is special. Hallelujah. And so he's saying that, look, the congregation, you are not the only special person. And I've seen people fight sometimes even with their pastors. Do you get it? I know places where people fight with their pastor over one time I went to one church. The pastor had a parking spot and he had put a sign at the parking spot. He says, pastor only. No. He said, preacher only. Then he said, you park, you preach. Yeah, the sign was right there at the pastor's parking spot. It says for preacher only. Then it says you park, you preach. And I was just thinking, why does he have to fight for a parking spot in front of his church? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, but there's some people who feel, who do you think you are? It's a spot. Everyone should have it. You get it? Yes. I came early, you came later. I put my car there. That is it. Some people don't understand why the pastor has a special seat. Oh. There's nothing, my seat over here, there's nothing special about it. You know, I actually don't even like sitting here very much. Except that sometimes because of the temperature, I need some warmth. That's it. That's the only reason why I sit here. You get it? Just because of the temperature. When I forget my sweater. But there's nothing special about these seats. It's just a chair. Yeah. We don't even own it. We come and meet it here every time. There's nothing special about it. Do you understand? But with our understanding that authorities are people given to us by God, a little something that makes the person a little special is your way of saying to God that I respect you and your authority. Because if he says, if you resist him, he says you resist God. You resist the ordinance of God. If that is true, then it means when you honor him, you also honor God. Does it make sense? Yeah. Amen. So it's very important. We shouldn't fight this. I had one day somebody came to me after church. Not this church, some other church. Because I believe there's nobody here like that. By the grace of God, right? But somebody came up to me after church and the person said, Pastor, you remind me of my dad. So I thought it was a compliment. I was starting to enjoy it. Then she said, he was so full of himself. Yeah. She said, you remind me so much of my dad. And I said, really? Then she said, yes. He was so full of himself. You know, you don't have to say that to your pastor. You don't have to say that to anybody who's appointed to lead you. Maybe it's even a small group. Do you understand? Sometimes you have people in small groups like the choir and so many little groups. And you say, they just can't be led. They are not leadable. You can't tell them when to have the meeting. You can't tell them when they are closing. You can't tell them what song they want to sing. The song they sing. Even if you choose the song for them, they will sing the one they want to sing in their head. On their lips, they are singing the one you chose. But in their heart and in their head, they are singing what they want to sing. No, 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 no. No, this is a human problem. Human beings make themselves ungovernable. And it leads to so much chaos. Imagine if we didn't have a government. If we didn't have somebody who told us, you know, where to drive your car. Everybody drive on the right. Those coming this way drive on the left. And leave people to themselves. Confusion. Yes. People, including people climbing over other people's cars. That's what, have you seen those monster trucks? Yes. Imagine what those guys would do. You'd be driving your little sports car. And while you are delighting your little small convertible, this guy is going to come with his big truck behind you. And the light is red. You choose to respect it. For him, he's colorblind. Okay, so he says, listen, it's red for you. It's not red for me. And then he climbs over you to go where he wants to go. Authority is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't follow people who don't respect authority. Don't follow people who challenge authority. People who rise up against authority. When we go to school, there's always somebody in the class who doesn't respect authority. There's always someone who makes fun of the professor. There's always someone, the professor will be teaching, someone is teaching, instructing. Can you imagine? He has some knowledge. You're the one who's missing the knowledge. You're the one in school. He's not in school. He's working after school. He has the knowledge. You're the one that is deficient in it. And he's trying to impart a little bit of what he knows. You see students sitting in the class making fun of him, making fun of his clothes, making fun of his pot belly, making fun of his different things, just whispering to each other, writing notes and different things, mocking and laughing at the person who has some knowledge to give to you. We must not join such people. We must frown at such behaviors and say, this is not a good thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a good thing. And you often see such people don't do well. Yes. When school is over, you find that they didn't do well. You know, and sometimes you are cheered on by other students and other people who themselves, remember, you are all in the class, means you are likely to be equally bankrupt. And they are the ones cheering you on and saying it's a good thing. And they give you fans and you feel big and you feel great and so on. But when the class is over, the professor goes, and you go to nothing. Because the knowledge that he came to impart, you mocked at it. You laughed at it. Not knowing it's God you are laughing at. It is God you are laughing at. He says that he's a messenger from God. So it is God we are mocking. No wonder there's always a consequence. You will pay for it. Are you understanding the word of God? This is very good teaching. Tell somebody this is good teaching. This is very good teaching. Hallelujah. Yeah. Since there are always people who are ready and willing to rebuke spiritual authorities. Even you have politicians who lift themselves up. And sometimes they speak in ways about pastors and about churches. You know, there are politicians who speak and they feel this. The churches must build schools. Churches must do this. I mean, how do politicians tell pastors a church what a church is supposed to be? Meanwhile, everybody has their job. There's a reason why we have a minister for education. There's a reason why we have a minister for whatever, and a minister for this, and a minister for that. But you find some of these people using the authority to speak in funny ways about authority. Don't celebrate. Anytime you see such things, you should watch those things. Because they never end well. It never leads to a blessing. It never leads to prosperity. It always ends badly. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. It is a very important thing. Don't speak against spiritual authorities. Say amen. Amen. Very closely linked to that is the next one, which is correction upwards. That is pointing out the errors of elders. pointing out the errors of elders is also a sign of proud speaking. Hallelujah. A very famous example is in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. This is Jesus Christ letting someone into the vision and plan that God has for him. You know, and he's saying, he's talking to his disciples and he's telling them what is going to happen, how he's going to have to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, verse 22 says, then Peter is one of his disciples. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He says, Peter took Jesus Christ. Peter, who was appointed by Jesus Christ. Remember that Peter was a fisherman, you know, and Jesus Christ appointed him. Jesus called him from fishing and he said, from today, you're going to fish for men. He promoted him from catching fishes to catching men. I think if you are moved from catching fish, you know, snapper, tilapia, you know, and things like that, and now you have to learn human names, I think it's a promotion. What do you think? Yes. And then he took Jesus aside and said, excuse me, Jesus, could you just come? And then he took Jesus to the side and he began to talk to him and said, listen, you shouldn't talk like that. See, such statements bring discouragement. You know, we've been following you for some time, right? If you feel, you know, depressed and unhappy, at least keep it to yourself. Don't bring it out here in public. You spread a sense of discouragement around us, and we don't like that. Is that clear, Jesus? Jesus, I hope you get that. Right. That's Peter rebuking his master. You see how Jesus became sober? But that's this Jesus. This Jesus didn't take that at all. In the next verse 23, the Bible says, but he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You are Satan, he said to Peter. Oh, no, that's not, he's Jesus. So, all right. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said to him, you are Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, because you savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus was telling him, who told you that just because I'm saying something that sounds negative to you, it's not from God? Yeah. He said, who told you that? How dare you speak to me like that? Who told you that just because what I said doesn't sound nice to you means it does not come from God? Who told you that? He said, you are Satan. Satan speaking directly. And many people try to direct their leaders because they are influenced by Satan. Oh, yes. Look, if the church is what it is, if it is an assembly of the people of God, if the church is the house of God, you should not underestimate Satan's level of interest in what goes on here. If this is how God saves people, if this is how God delivers people, if this is how God keeps his children encouraged, if this is how God blesses his people and speaks to them, then you should expect a very high interest in the church from Satan. And he would use anybody he can, anyone he can, he would like to use them to direct, to take over, to lead and to direct the church. If it was left to Peter alone, I mean, this whole crucifixion on the cross would not happen. Yeah, by what Peter was saying, the whole dying on the cross thing would not have happened. And dear friends, if the dying of the cross on the cross had not happened, I wouldn't even know you. Yeah. We would not be here. I mean, can you imagine if Jesus didn't die on the cross? If Jesus didn't shed his blood for our sins, what would we do with the sins? If mankind had no remedy, if there was no remedy for sin, what would human beings do? And that's what Peter was trying to do by getting in the face of his leader. And instead of making a suggestion, he was actually rebuking him and speaking sharply to him that this is not how to run a church. This is not how to do this. This is not how to talk in public. This is not how to do these kinds of things. Tell your neighbor, I'll never do that. Hallelujah. Bishop shares some of his experiences. He says here, he says, watch out for people who are so big that they know what the pastor must teach and how he must teach it. He said, someone once told me to hurry up with my message. He said, you repeat yourself too much. Another person also said, my sermons were too long. Others said they were too short. Some of my congregants said that there were too many stories. I once had some medical students who rebuked me for teaching so long on the subject of tithing. The pastor was teaching on tithing, and he was teaching a series on tithing. And I think I remember that message. It was 40 reasons why you must pay your tithe or something like that. 40 reasons. And he was teaching the 40 reasons over a period, a few reasons every Sunday. And he was explaining. And then somebody tells the pastor that your message is too long. It's like too much. Why do you have to give us 40 reasons? It's likely somebody who is not a tither. And every one of those reasons is a bullet. So it's like, just stop this. Move on to the next thing. He said, on another occasion, I had a powerful lady church member rebuking me for the way I was running the worldwide church. She said, that's not the way to run the church. That's not the way to do it. He said, I had to point out to her that I was running the church on a full-time basis while she was only coming to church twice a week. You come here twice a week and you are coming to tell us what to do in this place. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God? Tell somebody, we don't rebuke our leaders. We don't rebuke our leaders. Amen. We don't rebuke our leaders. We lead our leaders to people who are higher than them to rebuke them. Are you getting what I'm saying? One of the reasons sometimes why people get into trouble with the police is an attempt to rebuke someone you shouldn't be rebuking. And that always, because you then give him an opportunity to be his human self. Do you understand? Which is as bad as you. Everything we can do, I told you once that a police officer was writing me a ticket. And when he saw the look on my face and saw that I was so discouraged, he told me, listen, don't worry, I also have 3 points myself. Yeah, because I was saying to him that I'm very worried because I feel like I'm going to get points on my license. And so, you know, then he said to me, don't worry, even I have 3 points. You get it? So all the things we do, they can also do, and they actually do. Do you understand? It's just the uniform sort of keeps them under control. So when you start wrestling with him, then you're no longer wrestling with a uniform. You are dealing with the thing inside the uniform. Do you understand? And he's going to use every advantage the uniform gives him to oppress you. When he does that, it's not a police officer doing it. It's the man in him that is taking advantage of being a police officer to do that to you. That's how people get shot. That's why people do all these things. It's not that he's a police officer. That's not what police people are supposed to do. But what it is that at some point you engage the man. And the man, his anger, his evil, everything you are capable of, he is also able to do it. And he starts to do that. He uses it against you. You see them kicking people. I saw one this week. They were kicking a 14-year-old girl. I tell you, they said the girl, whatever, she spoke a certain way, you know, and they were just beating her and just kicking her. You know, that's not how to behave. But if you engage the man in him, that thing will rise out of the uniform and deal with you. And after that, quickly go wear the uniform again. How many understand the teaching of the Word of God today? Don't join people to speak against authority. God, who appointed them, will correct them. God will send the appropriate correction. Look at that guy. Even the man, the king, who was talking proudly and speaking. God himself, he came from, because in that atmosphere, nobody could say anything anyway. All these Flappy Jackson, all these people, they couldn't say anything. In that atmosphere, who can correct him? No one can correct him. But it doesn't put him above God's correction. And if God has to write on the wall, he will. Because God knows how to bring every man to his knees. God knows how to do it. Amen. That's why Jesus was not afraid of Pilate and said to him, you have no authority over me. You think you have some power over me, but you know, I know someone who has power over the power you have over me. You know, you think you have power to unplug my cord, but I know someone who can shut off the mains where even you will have no power to share with me. That's who I'm connected to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so it is very important for us to respect authority. Say amen. Amen. How many are learning something today? This is very important, very valuable, very precious instruction that will help us. Can I have an amen? Amen. Yeah. Watch out for people who go around spreading stories. People who go around gossiping, spreading stories about the leaders, spreading stories about pastors, spreading stories about the church. You know, you need to watch people who tell you things that make you not feel like belonging anymore. That's how you know Satan has spoken to you. Jesus was good at that. He was able to tell that even though this was someone he ate with every time, Satan had entered him. And when he recognized it, he told him clearly, you know, you are my friend. We've been around. You've been following me all this time. But at this moment, what you are saying is inspired by Satan. And I'm not afraid to tell you. Yeah. Because you have people. Sometimes you have people. They come and visit you. And they find a clever way of putting the church on board. Putting the pastor on board. Just some clever way of just bringing up something. By the time they are finished, even your mind about the church has changed. Your mind about the pastor has changed. No, it is Satan. And you need to watch it. In Romans, look at Romans. Since we are talking about it, why don't we just finish? Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Can you see that? People who cause strife and people who cause offenses and cause divisions, you know, and give you reason to think in a way that is contrary to what you otherwise thought. Can you see that? Yeah. That you felt you were in a good church, you felt you were in a good environment, but now after speaking to them, you don't feel that way anymore. Yeah. And he says, mark such people and avoid them. Avoid them. Avoid them. Look at the next verse, verse 18. Verse 18 says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. what they are saying, which they are pretending they are saying to protect the church and to help you. The Bible says they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. They are saying it for themselves to protect their own belly. And it says by their good works, because often such people do favors for you. By their good works and their fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Tell somebody, I'm not one of the simple. I know better than that. I know better than that. Can you see that? It's clearly in the Bible. They do good works. They'll help you with your baby. They'll help you, you know, clean your car. They'll do little things. They'll cook a little pie, something, and they'll just bring to you. And they make nice things to you just to buy your favor and to make them credible. Because the person has done good to you. When you were broke, they gave you a little tip somewhere. They did something small for you. And so the person is kind of nice to you and then makes fair speeches. And if you are simple-minded and you have a simple heart, you are deceived by such a person and you think they are serving Jesus, but they are actually serving themselves. What they are saying it for themselves. They're saying it for themselves. Every church has them. Every church has them. You name the church, they have them. They are inspired by evil spirits. What do you think about this purple thing this choir is now being made to wear? You know, I don't think you look good in purple. What is this? What color is this? Burgundy. Wine. Burgundy wine. Burgundish wine. I don't know. You don't look good in. Meanwhile, what is this? That person doesn't want to wear burgundy. She's the one, or he is the one, who doesn't want to wear burgundy. But he's starting by making a compliment on your looks. You could look more beautiful than that. God. The one thing I like about you is how God made you. You look, you know, what is spoiling this beautiful thing is this burgundy that they have put on you. Honestly, that's what's ruining everything. If it wasn't for this burgundy thing, girl, flappy jack. You see, meanwhile, the person is trying to sort of rally support. You get it? And in a slight, a cunning way, the person is trying to just stir up, you know, some contention around this burgundy thing. And to make people rebel against it. Yeah. Why should we wear white skirts? I don't look good in white skirts. What is this? Why should the skirts be like this? Why doesn't it narrow and just, you know, because I mean, see, your skirt is hiding your beautiful shape. Who said that we are asking you to sing here so we can see your shape? If we want to see your shape, we know where we will come. Mark such people. Do you understand it? It is because people are simple that they buy into such things. But God is instructing us out of that simplicity. And he's saying, mark such people. Mark people. And he said, the sign is, just look at their effect on you. He says, look at their effect on you. Verse 17, bring it back. Bring verse 17 back. He says, mark those which cause, that is the effect on you. They cause what? Divisions and offenses. By the time they are through with you, you don't feel as good about the church, about the pastor, about the choir, about the technical team, about whatever it is. You don't feel that way about them anymore. That is their effect on you. That's their cause. So forget about what they said. Just mark their effect. And when you track the effect and you see what it's doing, the Bible says avoid them. Avoid them. Yes. Don't answer one. Don't answer two. Don't answer three. Don't answer four. Don't answer five. Means don't answer their calls. Yeah. Because they're making you not want to be in church. They're making you not want to be in the presence of God. They're making you think otherwise. They're sowing ideas, sowing seeds. Some people sow the seeds along lines of, you know, nationality. You know, these people are from here. These people are from here. This is the house of God. It has all nations in it. We don't all have to come from the same place. We are all children of God, and God has brought us here. Nobody must create factions around, you know, we come from here, those Ghanaians or those Africans or those this, anybody who talks like that is causing divisions. That person is causing, it's like a pie that is together, and you are separating the blue part from the red part, and from that part, and from that part, you are a knife that is dividing what God has put together. And the Bible says, when God puts something together, let no man mess with it. When God joins something together, let no man put it asunder. No one must do that. It's a beautiful cake. We are all together. We are all fellowshipping together. We may not speak the same language, but it's a blessing that we can all be together. We may not even eat the same things, but it's a blessing. Look, as long as we can be in the same room and wear different clothes, then it means we can belong to the same church and still have differences and belong. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You like red, I like blue, but we can still be friends. Yes. So in the same way, you shouldn't be surprised. If I speak a different language, you speak a different language. It doesn't mean it should be a basis for dividing the church. Those who speak that language against those who don't speak this language. Those who do this against those who do that. Those who eat this food against those who do that. That is the devil at work, just to separate God's people. People who go around gossiping. Let me show you one more verse. I think we have time for one more verse before we close. Proverbs chapter. No, let's read this one. This one is interesting. Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1 and verse 16. Jude chapter 1 from verse 16. It says, these are murmurers and what? Complainers. Can you see that? Walking after their own lusts. So you see, again, it's usually the person. Do you understand? It's usually the person. Murmurers and complainers walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Wow. I tell you, the Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You can't even believe some of the verses in the Bible sometimes. He says, people who admire people because of advantage. Hey, you look good today because of advantage. They don't mean the compliment, but they are trying to open a door so they can complain. And they are murmurers and complainers walking after their own lusts. You see, and their mouth speaketh great swelling, flattering words that they don't mean. They say your hair is bouncy and they see no bounce in your hair. They don't even like your hair. Making compliments because of advantage, just to work their way into the hearts of people. Verse 17, it says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Verse 19 says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. separate us, divide us. They are sensual and they don't have the spirit. They don't have the spirit. They don't have the spirit. Don't listen to such people. They don't have the spirit. They don't have the spirit. They are obviously not working by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's be careful to guard and protect what God has given us. Amen. God put us here for a purpose. He has a plan for us. Amen. God is working on us. It is the devil who is against what God is doing. But as far as God is concerned, he has planted us. When God plants you in a church, he's okay. He feels confident that he has put you in the right place. And it's just a matter of time. You will be okay. Hallelujah. Let's stay. Let's be humble. Let's beware of these signs of proud speaking. And God is going to bless us. Say amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Close your eyes, please, and let us pray. Pray and say to God, Lord, I don't want to be proud because I know you don't like proud people. I want to be humble. I don't want to be one of those who speaks proudly. Take every pride and every arrogance out of my heart. Take it out of my mouth. Help me to be humble in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray and ask God for humility in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, help me to humble myself. Help me to humble myself. Help me. Deliver me from proud speaking. Deliver me from wrong speaking, from challenging authority. Whether they are at school, at work, at home, wherever the authority is that is exerted over your life, decide today that you're going to yield to it. You're going to submit to it because they wouldn't have that power. They wouldn't have any power except that God has given them that power. God is behind it. When you fight it, you resist it, you are fighting God, and you don't stand a chance if you fight God. You will lose if you fight God. Just pray and say, Lord, please help me in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I don't want to be proud in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me to be humble. Help me to speak the right way. Help me to speak the right way. Help me to say the right things. Help me to respect authority. Even my professors at school, my boss on the job, help me, Lord, to say the right things. Help me to relate with them with reverence. Help me to respect them for who they are, for the authority they have over me. Help me to respect them. Because I now know that it is of God. It is God I'm dealing with. It is God I'm dealing with. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy on us. Forgive our pride. Forgive our arrogance. In Jesus' name. And help us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Jesus' name. Now, as we close the service, maybe you're here or you're watching us online, but you know in your heart that you're not born again. You know in your heart that Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You know in your heart that you're filled with pride and your own sense of importance, and you've pushed God aside and don't care about God at all. Today, God is reaching out to you. God is speaking to your heart. God is speaking to you concerning your life. God is the one letting you know that your life is just a mere breath. from being lost. That you need him. That you can't continue to go on without him. But the thing that stands between you and him is sin. And today, God is here to forgive sins. If you will acknowledge it, if you will say, yes, it is me, Lord. If you will agree with God that yes, you do have it, then God will visit you. God will take away that sin. God will wash away your sins by the provision he has made through the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. So if you're here like that today, or if you're listening to me or watching me, and that is the prayer on your heart, I want you, while every eye is closed and while we're all in prayer, just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? Just raise up your right hand. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want Jesus to save me. I want to live for Jesus. I want to be a child of God. Is there anybody here like that today? You want to give your life to Jesus? You want to give your life to Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone here like that today who wants to give your life to Jesus? Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's say this prayer together. Everybody, join us. If you're online, just join us as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins.
Thank you for dying for my sins.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know there's salvation in no other name.
I know there's salvation in no other name.
Except your name.
Except your name.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Be Lord over my life.
Lord over my life.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Be Lord over my life.
Be Lord over my life.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash
me. And let your blood cleanse me.
And let your blood cleanse
me. And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer. Everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. It's time for communion. Let's come before the Lord's table. Where are communion stats, Christina? Come. Lives have just begun.
Zechariah chapter 9 tells us the power of the blood covenant. Verse 11. It says, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. So today, every prisoner in a pit where there is no water, no refreshing, no one to love you, no one to marry you, no one to help you, no one to care for you, out of a pit, I'm sending thy prisoners by what? The blood of the covenant. Kama shaka pasadala. Oh, I'm reading a verse you don't understand. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners. Prisoners out of the pit. So you are coming out of every pit that is holding you today by the blood of the covenant. Do you believe the blood of the covenant is working for you? Somebody here, you are not having water at where you need water. Receive water today. Verse 12. Beautiful. Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today. Today do I declare unto thee that I will render double unto thee. God is going to restore double back to you. God is going to restore double back to you. Whatever you seem to have lost in your life's journey. Do you believe in the word double? I will render double. I will render double. 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 So you know, God has rendered whatever it seems that I've lost by being a full-time minister. God has rendered double to me. God is, what grace is on me is on you too. Stand to your feet. Take the breath. Father, thank you. According to this covenant, let there be a double restoration. He that eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has life. Every prisoner comes out of every pit. By this covenant, in the name of Jesus, the body, the bread, the body of Jesus Christ. And now, Zechariah 9 verse 11. As for you, by the blood. Are you seeing the verse? By the blood of thy covenant, I have sent you forth thy prisoners out of the pit. Any chain that is holding your leg, Jesus, you are free from it today. Amen. The blood of Jesus speaks for everyone here today, Father. Thank you for this blood, the blood of your covenant with us, Lord. We receive it. We receive deliverance from every chain, every pit.
Yes, Lord.
His name, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Lift your hands for your blessing. Thus shall you bless the people. Recover. Return. Receive these three words. Restoration. Restoration of whatever is lost in your life. Recovery. May you recover sevenfold. Whatever seems to be lost in your life, you are recovering it sevenfold. In the name of Jesus. And the third word, return. Whatever has gone away from you, I call it in the spirit, come back home. Come back home. Come back home.
Come back home.
Come back home.
Come back home.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Of your life that seem to be lost, I command them to be recovered in Jesus' name. All the days of your life that seem to be spoiled, I declare restoration over them. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord restore all things to normalcy in the name of Jesus. Your health is returned to normal. Your eyes are returned to normal. Your body is returned to normal. Your breasts are returned to normal. Your kidneys are returned to normal. Your liver is returned to normal. Every cancer cell in your body is returned to normal.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every strange symptom in your life is restored to normalcy now.
Restored.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every strange diagnosis over your life is canceled and you are returned to normal.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every journey you are making towards the grave, every journey you are making towards your grave now,
yes,
I return you back to where you were before in Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Every advancement that you are making towards your grave, yes, towards a mortuary, yes, towards your funeral, yes, I cause you to return back in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes. Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
All types of imprisonment,
yes,
of your life, social imprisonment,
yes,
psychological imprisonment,
amen,
marital imprisonment,
yes,
financial imprisonment,
yes, Lord,
socio-economic imprisonment,
yes,
spiritual imprisonment.
Yes,
I declare all prisoners.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Let me hear a louder amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All types of bondages and imprisonment.
Every type of bondage.
Of your life. Every relationship.
Yes.
That is not good for you.
Yes.
I curse that relationship now.
Amen.
Every relationship and friendship.
Every relationship.
Yes. That is destroying you. I curse, yes, that relationship now.
It is cursed.
In the, yes, name of Jesus.
Amen.
I purify all your relationships.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Receive restoration.
Hallelujah.
Receive recovery.
I receive,
receive
it.
A returning to normal.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lift your hand and thank God for restoration,
yes,
and deliverance and recovery by the power of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Give thanks to God. Everybody give thanks.
Come on, give him thanks.
The Bible says
everybody,
this is
give
where
thanks.
Jesus gave thanks.
Give him thanks.
Give him thanks.
Give him thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful
give
heart.
Give him thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. For recovery. 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 Rama Shona Lababa. Restoration. Narabo Solobala. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Everyone said amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Every abnormality is becoming normal, as declared by the prophet, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every abnormal situation in your life is becoming normal. You are becoming who you were created to be in the name of Jesus. The devil's plans for your life will not come to pass, because God's word has been prophesied over your life in Jesus' name. You will not be a failure. You will not be a disappointment. I said you will not fail. And you will not be a disappointment, because God himself has covered you by the words of the prophet and by the words of prophecy. Hallelujah. We thank you for such a blessed time, Lord, in your presence. In Jesus' name, and everybody says amen.